Good morning.
You're just in time.
Welcome to the St. Gabriel Cafe, your sacred space to sip on today's local blend of faithful encouragement.
Let's start our day together.
Good morning, friends. Come on in, pull up a chair. I am Dave Orsborn.
And I'm Amanda Miller, and we welcome you into the St. Gabriel Cafe, our live and local morning show.
Good morning, Cam. Good morning, Amanda.
Good morning.
Christ is risen.
Hallelujah, he is risen.
This morning, we're going to be joined by our friend Liz Christie from the Office of Evangelization to chat about the upcoming Eucharistic Revival happening in Indianapolis in June, as well as a procession that will be coming straight through Columbus. Exciting stuff, eh?
Eh?
Great day to be a duck, isn't it?
Okay, that took me a moment, but yes, yes, I suppose it is.
Do you want to pray?
yeah, I do. In the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Lord, we thank you for this day, for your blessings and for your goodness, and in particular, for coming for us, for rising for us, for calling us into new life, and for opening up the gates of heaven for us, that we are sons and daughters of God our Father through adoption, through the work that you've done. So we ask just for our hearts to enter fully into that reality, to know our identity as sons and daughters, to live in the reality that we are sons and daughters. Lord, we thank you for the good work that you are doing in our lives. We praise you for that work that you are doing in our lives. Even when we don't see its goodness, even when it's hard, Lord, we still trust in your providential care. And in those places that we don't, we still offer it to you, asking for help to see your goodness, to trust with faith. Lord, we pray for protection today in this rainy weather, that you would protect all of our driving, all of our travel. We also pray for all those who have asked for our prayers. We lift them up, ask you to bless their lives and whatever they may need, both spiritually and physically, materially. We are grateful, Lord. We pray all this in Jesus' name, amen.
Amen, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen. Yeah, let's pray for our community for today through all these storms. I think we're in for a wild ride this afternoon also. They're forecasting thunderstorms and hail and winds and tornado warnings.
Wait,
and,
seriously?
Yeah. Yesterday was April 1st, not today. It's all serious.
Okay.
Yeah. But so pray for everyone.
Yeah. I grew up in California, and so people from outside of California would always ask, well, aren't you afraid of earthquakes? And we were blessed enough to never have an earthquake that was destructive, at least in my area.
Mm-hmm.
And so I said, no, you know, they come and they go, and it's no problem, at least where I live. And I always thought, you guys get tornado warnings. That freaks me out. So
then the sirens go off. Don't ignore them, friends, if you hear them this afternoon.
Yeah.
Yeah. Go
it's
to safety.
It's not Wednesday.
What's that?
It's not Wednesday where they're testing them.
No, it's not. It's,
oh, yeah. Is that what happens?
Every Wednesday at noon.
I didn't even know this.
Yeah.
I remember I was homeschooled growing up, and I remember the Wednesday test alarm at noon was kind of like the school bell sound for lunchtime for me, and so when you would hear it, it's like, oh, it's time to eat. Not the case today. Not today. Today it is probably not the time to eat when you hear the tornado.
It's time to run to your basement.
It's time to find a safe spot in your house. I was thinking about this morning on my drive in, actually, of we don't have like a basement in our place, and so just thinking about where's the best place in a house to be if you don't have a basement.
Interior rooms.
Right.
And I heard only in the bathtub with a mattress on top. Is that right?
Sure, absolutely.
I could do that.
That's a good idea.
Okay, great.
Yeah, get away from windows. It's the big thing. So another
pro tip
is to check your sump pumps.
Mm.
There, we've had a ton of rain, and that's a lot of work for the pumps to get rid of all that water.
Mm-hmm.
So, and that's it for our weather updates this morning.
On to sports.
On to sports, yeah.
Duke-Loss, that was sad.
Now let's talk about the men's summit coming up on Saturday, April 13th. John Edwards returns to Columbus. This is the Catholic Men's Ministry Leadership Summit happening at St. Paul's on Saturday, April 13th. You can go to CatholicMen'sMinistry.com for all the details. The day starts with Mass at 8:30 and wraps up by about 2:30 in the afternoon. And then also happening, Sarah Club in here in Columbus, April 12th and 13th is also hosting a summit on vocations and vocation awareness. Father Stephen Basso, the rector at the Josephinum, will be a speaker, as are our friends, the Sisters of Leaven of the Immaculate Heart of Mary from Scioto County will be coming into town also to speak. So you can go to your favorite search engine, search for Great Lakes Region Serran, S-E-R-R-A-N, Summit for more details. Lots of good stuff happening.
Is that for people discerning if they're...
I don't think as much discernment as how to support vocations. Hmm. So what can we all do to encourage priestly vocations as well as vocations in the religious life. Mm-hmm. So we're blessed here in Columbus to have two very good Sarah chapters, downtown Columbus as well as Sarah North. So you want to take a look at the gospel for today?
Sure.
Today is Tuesday, April 2nd, the octave of Easter. We're looking at the Gospel of John, chapter 20, verses 11 through 18. Mary Magdalene stayed outside the tomb weeping, and as she wept, she bent over into the tomb and saw two angels in white sitting there, one at the head and one at the feet, where the body of Jesus had been. And they said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "They have taken my Lord, and I don't know where they laid him." When she said this, she turned around and saw Jesus there, but did not know it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you looking for?" She thought it was the gardener and said to him, "Sir, if you carried him away, tell me where you laid him, and I will take him." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him in Hebrew, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said to her, "Stop holding on to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father, but go to my brothers and tell them, I am going to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary went and announced to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord," and then reported what he had told her. Amen.
Amen.
This is the last account of Mary Magdalene in all of the scriptures. She doesn't appear in the Acts of the Apostles. So I was just reflecting on how her character in the story, her person, the journey that she goes on from the very beginning, one of Jesus's first in the synoptic gospels, of the people that he really truly impacts, and then how she journeys with him and travels with him. I think The Chosen portrays this really, really well. She's the first episode, and one of the most powerful, at least to me, because the whole episode is from her perspective and journeying all the way to this moment. I was just struck by the very first words of today's gospel, that Mary Magdalene stayed outside the tomb weeping. Mm. And I mean, this probably would have been like soul crushing for her. You know, the guy who who freed her, her God, her Lord, her King, who freed her from her sin, is dead. Of course she's outside the tomb weeping, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just struck throughout like the dialogue with the angels and then with our Lord when she doesn't recognize him, of how like her the word fierce keeps coming to my brain, like her fierce devotion to our Lord, of just being so in love with him that she's like, she when the person she thinks is the gardener asks, you know, why are you weeping? Whom are you looking for? She doesn't answer his questions. She's like, sir, if you carried him away, tell me where he is, and I will take him. She's so fiercely devoted to our Lord. St. Thomas Aquinas calls Mary Magdalene the apostle to the apostles, that she's the first person who encounters the risen Lord at the tomb, and she's the one who goes to tell the apostles, I have seen the Lord. And just like that, that fierce devotion is what puts her in that place, that that being constantly with her eyes on the Lord, with her eyes. She was there at the cross. She was there at his resurrection now. I'm just struck by that. It's what a challenge to living the Christian life, that like, do other people see in me what people saw in Mary Magdalene? You know, the what happens directly after this, you know, right at the very end, she went and announced to the disciples, I have seen the Lord, and then reported what he told her in the this is from the Gospel of John, but in the Synoptic Gospels, it's immediately after that, Peter and John are run to the tomb, right? That they're so convinced of her testimony that they're like, we have to go see this for ourselves now too. What a call for me as a Christian. Do people see me that way when I'm out in public or when I'm hanging out with my friends? Is my person so fiercely devoted to the Lord that people are called to come and see for themselves?
Mm-hmm.
Mm, nice.
Actually, Cam, going off of your reflection, you had said, you know, of course she's outside the tomb. Of course she's there weeping. This is her Lord, her God, the one who saved her from her sins. And I was struck by that because I was like, yeah, of course she is. But then again, struck by, but that's all of us, right? All of us have been saved by our Lord, redeemed from our sins. And are we outside the womb weeping with this fierce devotion? Because honestly, I think the church would look a whole lot different if we had that fierce devotion. And I think that's why we're in such a need of meditating on these and asking ourselves, in reality, what does my relationship with my Lord look like? And in the beginning of the gospel, she says, they have taken my Lord. She doesn't say they have taken his body, they have taken the Lord. She said, they have taken my Lord. Mm. It's this deeply personal relationship that she is not willing to let go or to compromise. And when Jesus says to her, Mary, you know, we also know that my sheep, when Jesus says, my sheep hear my voice, and he calls us by name. And that's when she recognizes him. And so I'm just struck here, one, Cam, by what you shared, and two, just by that relational aspect of we're always invited deeper into a relationship with our Lord. And are we affected in that way in which we are fiercely devoted? Are we living that testimony that that the world could be changed by?
Amen. Yeah, fiercely devoted. I want to pray with that more today. I mean, we're going to be talking about Eucharistic revival with Liz Christie here in a few minutes. Just the word revival gets to this, the point that you two were making. Revival is an improvement in the condition or strength of something, or an instance of something becoming important again. And I think that that's something, I mean, if each of us are honest with ourselves, and look back to that first encounter that we had with the Lord. What do we need to do, obviously through God's grace, to perhaps have that re-encounter, to have a daily conversion, or just to discover the fullness that the church offers us through that Eucharistic encounter.
Mm-hmm.
And in very real ways, we'll be talking with Liz. Yeah, there's the revival happening in Indianapolis, but then there's also the procession coming through Columbus. We'll have multiple opportunities at the end of June in a particular way to encounter the Eucharistic Lord. But we are so blessed here in the Diocese of Columbus to have daily opportunities,
mm-hmm.
through daily Mass as well as through Eucharistic adoration, to have that Mary Magdalene moment,
right.
of turning and seeing the face of the Lord.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think in that, Dave, you used the word encounter, and my thought immediately went to, do we place ourselves in moments of encounter?
Mm-hmm.
Like we need to stir that up, these putting ourselves in the places of those moments of encounter so that we can go deeper.
I was thinking about the same thing, Amanda, because right after Jesus's resurrection, I like to look at, like, what is everybody doing? Right. Mary, who places herself at the tomb, mm-hmm. and that's where she encounters him. The apostles, who place themselves in the upper room, and Thomas, who wasn't there. Right.
Mm.
Who didn't place himself in that place of encounter. And so when he comes back and they're like, hey, dude, we saw Jesus. He is alive and risen. He's like, I'll believe it when I see
and
it.
And he doubts.
Right. Because
yeah.
he didn't place himself there. And then the next day he does place mm-hmm. himself there. He says, OK, you know what? I will put myself in that place for an encounter. And Jesus appears yet again. What an active part of that. Allowing Jesus to meet us, that we play,
mm-hmm.
that we have to put ourselves actively in that place, whether it's in the Adoration Chapel or going to Mass on Sundays or going to Mass for daily Mass,
mm-hmm.
Placing ourselves, or even like in the simplicity of our daily prayer time every morning. Good morning, Jesus.
Right.
Are you placing your soul, your heart in that place to encounter him that day?
Yeah, actually, I think that's a great reflection for each of us, Cam. What's the first thing on my mind when I wake up in the morning?
Mm.
Is it good morning, Lord, or a quick prayer? Or am I immediately in the world and what I'm supposed to do in it?
Mm. And then to take that Eucharistic encounter, the encounter through the grace of the source and summit of our faith, to be Christ and see Christ in everyone that we encounter
mm-hmm.
that day. So mm-hmm. to be Christ to others and then to see Christ in others. And we all have plenty of opportunities every day to make that happen.
Mm-hmm.
Easter's so good.
Amen.
So Liz Christie is going to be joining us in just a couple minutes. You're listening to the St. Gabriel Cafe. Glad to have you with us.
O good Jesus, you are the Most High God, everlasting and always living. You have shown us the way to the Father and sent the Holy Spirit to guide us. We implore thy most sacred heart to have mercy on us in this time of need. Bless and protect the vulnerable. Give hope to all and fill our hearts with confidence in your divine mercy. Be our joy in the midst of suffering and our stability in the midst of uncertainty. Your forgiveness we seek, your love we need. Your protection we implore. Forgive our sins and heal our wounds. Strengthen any weakness of faith and make us strong so as to give witness to your glory. Keep far from us any illness, pestilence, or harm. You are our refuge. You are our comfort. You are our hope. Through the intercession of Our Lady, health of the sick, we come to your most sacred heart and beseech your protection and blessing. Most sacred heart of Jesus, have mercy on us. Amen.
Do you have a minute for lasting happiness? Living virtuously is the way to freedom, happiness, and holiness. To grow in virtue, we must learn about it, practice it, and persevere in it. This is what the saints have achieved with excellence. An excellent example of the virtue of circumspection is seen in Blessed Miguel Pro. He lived circumspection heroically by carefully taking into account circumstances during the anti-Catholic persecution in Mexico. As a priest, he knew people needed the sacraments, reflected on the circumstances, and decided to continue serving. He used his talents to work undercover in creative disguises, continuing to serve until his death as a martyr for the faith. Let us ask Blessed Miguel Pro to pray for us, that we too may grow in circumspection. Educate yourself in virtue. Learn more at educationinvirtue.com.
I'm Lori Kroc, and this is a Holy and Healthy Minute. It's funny how inspirational phrases from our sports culture become part of our everyday lives. The slogan, "Just do it," is one such phrase. And what about, "It's not whether you win or lose, it's how you play the game." Many of the saints have given us inspirational phrases that can help guide our lives as children of God. From St. Catherine of Siena, "If you are what you should be, you will set the world on fire." One of my favorites from St. Padre Pio, "Pray, hope, and never worry." St. Mother Teresa admonishes us to do small things with great love. Our Blessed Mother's words from John chapter 2 point us to Jesus in all things. Do whatever He tells you. Let us pray. Holy Spirit, may we be guided by our faith, not by our culture, gathering inspiration from the words of the holy saints. Amen.
Welcome back, friends, to the St. Gabriel Cafe. I'm Amanda Miller.
I'm Dave Orsborn, and joining us now here in the cafe is Liz Christie from the Office of Evangelization for this fine dynasty. Diocese.
It's a dynasty now.
Good morning. How's everybody?
Wonderful. Happy Easter.
Happy Easter.
Happy belated birthday.
Thank you. I am an April Fool, so that's been fun for the last 48 years.
I just didn't make that connection, but...
Yeah.
Were you the pranker or the pranky?
No, neither. It was kind of like a veil of protection over the day because people, I would say it's my birthday. No, it's not. You're teasing. And then I think when I was little, I would probably cry. And then people were like, oh, it really is. Okay. And then that just put an end to all the silliness. So, but that's my day. So thanks, Mom.
Well, we are very grateful for you. So thanks for being with us this morning. We're going to talk about Eucharistic Revival, Liz. Mm-hmm. Coming up in June in Indianapolis is the big event.
Yeah. So, well, actually July. So
July.
Uh-huh.
After the procession. That's right. July.
Yeah. So we have a lot of good things coming up. Just a little backstory. So mm-hmm. We are in this 3-year process of Eucharistic Revival all throughout the United States. So not just here in our diocese, but this is everywhere. This is the response of our bishops across the country to the studies that came out. I think you probably remember a couple years ago, the studies came out where, you know, just such a low percentage of people actually believe in the true presence of the Eucharist. Even Catholics who attend Mass, not everyone in the pews understands and believes that this is truly Jesus present in the Eucharist. And so in response to that, our bishops decided we would do a national Eucharistic revival. And so it's been a 3-year process. It began with the first year in June of 2022 with the diocesan year revival. So dioceses around the country kind of did some things across the diocese to just, you know, till the soil, if you will, just to, mm-hmm. you know, like some awareness of it. And then this year, starting June 2023, we entered into the parish year of revival. So we're still in the midst of that right now. And then that continues until the National Eucharistic Congress, which is this huge conference that's happening in Indianapolis, as you mentioned, Dave.
Bigger than a summit.
It's bigger than a summit, it will be the summit of summits. I don't
there
know.
There you go.
July 17th through the 21st in Indianapolis. And I think right now they're saying 50, 60,000 people will be in Lucas Oil Stadium. And then from there, so we'll spend these 5 days together, listening to talks, celebrating the mass together, just like everything, like, you know, really, truly Source and Summit with all of these people. And then from there, it turns to the year of going out on mission. So beginning with that last day of the Congress, everyone will be commissioned to go out and really, you know, be the disciples out into the world. So we did the diocese, we did the parish. We're working on ourselves, strengthening ourselves. And then we have to go out. We can't just focus inward, because that's what got us into trouble in the first place. So it's time to go out. It's time to be the apostles. It's time to, you know, they ran to the tomb to see Jesus. But Mary, once she figured out it was Jesus, what did she do? She went to tell everybody, right? So if you figured out that Jesus is truly the Lord and he's truly present in the Eucharist, why would you keep that to yourself? You know, you can't. You really, truly can't. So this just will empower everybody to go out, and that will continue. We're continuing revival until Pentecost of 2025, and then really beyond. It's never supposed to stop, you know. So, So that's kind of a snapshot of the revival.
So leading up to the big event in Indianapolis, then, is the Eucharistic procession.
Yes. So this is super exciting. So they have found missionaries and priests who are going to start at the four corners of our country in the shape of a cross, essentially. I mean, you know, the mountains will make it a little wavy in certain places, but
I can't contain myself. I'm so sorry.
Amanda's so excited.
I'm going to melt and cry right here. Can you? I mean, come on. Just imagine our Eucharistic Lord is literally blessing our whole country. Come on.
Yeah. So our Lord will be processed across the country. And
we're talking thousands and thousands of miles.
Oh, yeah. The route from California. Oh, my goodness. They have to go so far.
Y'all can do it.
They found really vibrant young people. And if you follow them on social media, the National Eucharistic Revival, there you can find them on social media, and they just introduced the missionaries a few weeks ago. They had a big retreat with them to help get them prepared, and they were introducing themselves and just like their names and where they're from and why they're excited about this. And they're really excited about this, and it's like it builds the momentum to see young people excited for this, right? So anyway, so there's four routes, each one named after a saint, a U.S. saint, and then our route that's coming through Columbus it's called the St. Elizabeth Ann Seton route, and it starts in Connecticut on May 17th. And they will begin processing through different dioceses from Connecticut, eventually to Columbus, on to Cincinnati, and then on to Indianapolis. So we will have them here with us for an entire week.
You know what would be cool?
Yeah, what?
Is if we had an Elizabeth Ann Seton parish in our area.
Oh, funny you should say that.
How about that?
Yeah, we are. We're going to stop there on Wednesday of the procession week. So they will arrive in town with the first day on June 24th. And that's a Monday. And they'll be with us until the following Sunday.
Wow.
Yes, which is June 30th. So we have them basically the whole last week of June.
So St. Joseph in Somerset is the oldest Catholic church in Ohio.
Yes. And it just happens to be right on the edge of our diocese. So we're going to start there.
Mm-hmm.
That'll be Monday. And plans are underway. They're going to do all-day adoration, just open to anyone to just come and pray. The missionaries will arrive at some point during the day. The fun part of this is that we don't totally know all of the, you know, like, when will they get here? What's, you know, how's it all going to happen? So the parishes are just preparing and having everything ready for them. So an all-day adoration so that people are in prayer, just in front of our Blessed Lord, but also praying for the missionaries, for their travel, for their safety, you know, for their strength. Because by the time we get them in June, they will already have been doing this for 6 weeks. So they're going to be very excited, but they might also be very tired. So we're going to care for them well when they're with us, feed them, love them, pray for them, pray with them, and kind of be excited with them as they continue on their way. But yeah, we'll start with St. Joseph. The bishop will be there that evening for Mass.
Yeah, it's the Nativity of St. John the Baptist on June 24th. Nice.
Yes. So, and then they'll do an evening. Father said it will look very much like Holy Thursday adoration is how they'll end the evening. They'll process across the street and then have a time of prayer and benediction as well. And so, and then they'll continue. The next day will be at St. Francis de Sales in Newark. That's June 25th. And they have planned a lovely day there. They're actually going to process. I think this will be our longest procession. They're going to process from Blessed Sacrament in Newark to St. Francis de Sales. So it'll take about an hour to walk from one church to the other. They're just very perfectly spaced to be able to do that. So everyone can join who wants to actually walk with the pilgrims and process with them. That'll be the day to really have that opportunity. And so that'll be exciting. And then Wednesday, they're going to head over to Seton Parish in Pickerington. And we'll have an evening mass and a procession around the grounds. And then an outdoor picnic that everyone can join.
You're not at all excited that one, are you?
That's my home parish. So, you know, when we were planning this and we found out the name of the route, it seemed like an obvious stop. So we're hoping to have some relics of Mother Seton on display that can be venerated as people stop by the parish that evening.
Now, how is the Eucharist processing or being moved between these different locations?
Yeah,
because so, they're not walking the entire route.
No, they will be walking several miles a day is the plan, and then they also have a van. So if the roads are not really safe to walk or the weather is not conducive to walking, they'll be in the van and they'll be traveling. So it's basically, I think the last I heard, and again, details are still being finalized, but I think we have two priests, a couple seminarians, a deacon, and then the missionaries. So, and Jesus, all in a van. So imagine that. So they'll have great stories, I'm sure. But yeah, when they're able to, they'll actually get out and process with Jesus and the monstrance. So, yeah.
And Liz, I know you mentioned one that would be easy for us to join, but any of these, are we allowed to jump into?
Everything is totally open to the public all 7 days. And you can find more information if you go to columbuscatholic.org/revival. You'll find all of the details of this. And actually, they are encouraging people to register for each day of the event that you plan to attend. We're asking that you register online so the parishes can know how many people to expect, how many people to be prepared for. And if we get to capacity, that we know, okay, we're at capacity, that's it. So I would encourage everybody to register, especially if there's a certain day that you really want to attend, definitely register. But it's open to anyone, and you know, hopefully, too, we'll just pick up people that are like, "What's going on?" and just start following the procession. We don't know because they'll be starting in Connecticut. There may be groups of people that literally just follow the procession from diocese to diocese. So we may have many guests with us at these events. So it'll be very exciting.
I'm getting ideas, Amanda. Dave. I'm getting ideas.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Uh-oh.
Live broadcast from every location. Yeah. I mean, you know, I've basically cleared my week. I mean, my intention is to be at all of the events as much as possible.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So, but then, yeah, we'll continue on. So Thursday will be a really big day as well. We'll be at Christ the King. That's going to be a completely Spanish mass. But again, everybody's welcome to attend. There'll be a procession and a picnic there as well. And then Friday, a big night, St. Charles is going to host that night. And again, open to everybody, but a special invitation that night to our young adults and our college students. So the bishop will be in. It'll be a bilingual mass. And we hope to have a lot of young people present that evening. And then, it's kind of a Friday night. So come in, be with the bishop for mass, be with the missionaries and the traveling pilgrims. That's what we're calling them, the traveling pilgrims. So that's, and then, you know, it's Friday night. So then you can hang out with your friends afterwards or, you know, whatever you want to do.
And that's at Christ the King?
Friday will be at St. Charles.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Thursday, Charles. Christ the King. Friday, St. Charles. Got and it. Again, ColumbusCatholic.org/revival. You'll find all the details. All the details. So.
In case you're not writing all this down right now.
And then Saturday morning will be an exciting day as well. We'll be up at St. Paul. And this is the feast day of St. Peter and Paul. And
nice.
Again, the bishop will be with us. We'll start with adoration. We'll have mass. There'll be a procession. And then we're actually going to do a little vocations fair afterwards. So, so that'll be another exciting day. And then Sunday, we wrap everything up in Columbus with, we'll be at our cathedral. So St. Joseph Cathedral, we'll be there for mass. We'll do a procession downtown. So this is another good procession day because we'll be processing through the streets of Columbus.
What day did you say that was?
That is Sunday, June 30th.
Okay.
And so we'll process. And then again, a big celebration, if weather permitting, will be outside behind the cathedral. Having a celebration that day as well. And that's also going to be a bilingual event. So, it's going to be a really exciting week and a lot of opportunities to be part of it. Our Knights of Columbus, they are planning to be present, our fourth degree and other, groups will plan to be present with us that week just to add to the splendor of it all, an honor guard and things like that. I know that the American Heritage Girls are offering a special badge to the young ladies who will be participating. If they visit different locations for the procession, they can earn a special badge for that. So, it's just kind of like layers just keep getting added. And it's really neat to see, like, just Amanda, you just sitting here thinking like, I have all these ideas. Yes, that's great. You know, it's like these layers just keep getting added and, it's going to be a wonderful week.
And then the Eucharist continues from Columbus then, I believe, to Cincinnati.
Cincinnati, yes.
And then on to Indianapolis.
On to Indianapolis. So here, we'll see if Amanda can handle this excitement. So,
oh, no. Okay.
So these four routes coming from across the country, right? And they will, on the opening night of the procession.
I'm already losing it.
In Indianapolis, in the stadium, full of people adoring our Lord, the four routes will process in to the stadium together, and that will be like the kickoff for the entire summit.
Wow.
Yeah, I'm so excited for that moment because I can picture what it will look like, but yeah. I mean, just 50,000-60,000 people on their knees adoring the Lord, these missionaries who've been traveling, and the stories they'll have, and just
I've seen some old pictures from Mundelein outside of the seminary in Chicago of a Eucharistic event that they had probably in the early 1900s, and just all the people. I mean, just a huge event. And I've seen them in stadiums in New York and Philadelphia. Is this, as far as you know, is this the first national Eucharistic event like this? I mean, of this scale that's involving the entire
not
country?
Ever. They used to have these. We just haven't had one in a long time, like not in our lifetimes, And so I hope it'll become a thing that happens more often, but also this could be a once in a lifetime thing for all of us. Like, we don't know, like if they do it again in 10 years, some of us won't be alive in 10 years, like this may very well be once in a lifetime for so many people. So yeah, it's a big deal.
That makes me think, everyone's getting so excited about the eclipse, right? They're like, how often does this come around? Once in a lifetime. And it's like, okay, but our Lord, Eucharistic revival, come on. That there's greater importance there.
Absolutely. Yes. So it's quite exciting.
Now, are the parishes in Columbus approaching the Indianapolis event? Are parishes going as groups, most people going by themselves or with families? What's that look like?
Yeah, so there's a mix of how that's working. We got a certain amount of discounted tickets that we offered to pastors in their parishes, and so several parishes are planning kind of bus pilgrimages where they'll be going in. I know that St. John Newman and St. Joan of Arc, St. Peter, we're still looking for people to fill some of the spots on their buses. So if you haven't gotten your ticket or your spot to go and you really want to, I would contact one of those parishes. And again, that's St. John Newman and St. Joan of Arc, St. Peter. And you can see if they still have a spot, because they did like a little package deal. It's like, it's your ticket, your hotel, your transportation, everything's covered. Then some people are traveling just independently, like families are going on their own or individuals on their own. We have a group from the diocese that are going with our seminarians. So we're excited for all of that. And just, but once we get there, there will be some opportunities to kind of gather as a group. So the one thing we're going to do to kind of kick it off in Indianapolis for our diocese is Wednesday afternoon, July 17th, we will have a special mass with the bishop. So any of our people from the Columbus Diocese who are in Indianapolis plan an kind of a mid-afternoon mass with the bishop. We're thinking 3-4 o'clock and waiting on location to be released. But I'm actually, as I was driving in today, I'm going to put a sign up on the columbuscatholic.org/revival for anybody who wants to be informed of those type of events.
Great.
Just so people can know like when to meet. And then when we're in the stadium, if we're allowed to, we will have big flags indicating where Columbus is sitting. Mm. And so people that want to kind of sit together. But right now I think we have 300, 350 or so from Columbus planning to attend that I'm aware of. I'm sure there are many more that I don't know of, but yeah.
Liz Christie from the Office of Evangelization for the Diocese of Columbus is here. We're talking Eucharistic revival. I've also heard parishes around the Indianapolis area. A lot of parishes are planning events as well. I was talking to the folks that brought the Padre Pio relic for the men's and women's conferences. I think they're planning it on being at one of the parishes as well.
Nice.
So it's a real opportunity for the entire city of Indianapolis to welcome people from around the country and probably from around the world to celebrate the Eucharist.
Yeah, absolutely. It's so great to kind of hear, you know, because like that, Dave, I didn't know that yet. So it's like all these pieces, and again, the layers are just building, and mm-hmm. and all the things that people are doing. I think it will be overwhelming in the most wonderful way when we really see it all unfolding, and the lived experience of it, I think, will just be so incredible.
Have you started thinking, Liz, about after the event, what... coming back, I know there's an awful lot on your plate just getting through the procession and the
yes.
revival in Indianapolis, but what are some of the things that we can look forward to?
Well, so Bishop Hernandez has an event coming up exactly 1 month after the processions. He will be on August 14th at the Shrine in Cary,
mm-hmm.
Our Lady of Consolation in Cary, with the bishop from Toledo, and they will be doing a special mass and procession that night. So they're actually doing a rosary novena with processions leading up to this. So the 9 days prior to the Feast of the Assumption, Bishop Hernandez will be involved in a 9-day rosary procession up in Cary. So every evening, there will be something. And then the 14th, August 14th, there'll be a mass at 9 p.m. So it'll be a late mass mm-hmm. in the evening, an outdoor procession. And so he mentioned he would like that to kind of be the first big follow-up event to the Congress, since it's a month later and everyone's invited to go up and be part of that. And so that will be an exciting day. So that's the first thing that I think we'll see.
Mm-hmm. In our Lexio, Liz, this morning we were talking about going forth, you know, mm-hmm. as Easter people going out. And I'm just so thrilled. Amanda, I know you're excited as well. That what better way?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we can have programs and we can have activities and a lot of events, and they all have their place. I mean, they're all good. But if we want real lasting revival, it's only going to come through Jesus Christ.
Right.
Through the Eucharist, mm-hmm. That's where transformation occurs.
Mm-hmm. And we have to want it.
Mm-hmm.
And like Cam was saying this morning, we have to put ourselves in those places of encounter. The difference between Mary Magdalene weeping at the tomb and, doubting Thomas, who's, I'll believe it when I see it. You know, do we place ourselves in those moments of encounter? Are we actively praying and beseeching the Lord? Like, yes, I personally need revival. I personally need to be sparked again to this newness of life and faith. And actually, that's what I was kind of thinking as we were talking about all these great events and the things that we can be a part of. I mean, they only remain events if we don't allow ourselves to be affected. Mm-hmm. And Liz, you were talking about how, you know, this whole process of going from the diocesan level to the parish level, and we'll be having the National Congress coming up with the Eucharistic Congress. And you also said, but we're working on ourselves too. Mm-hmm. And so it made me think, okay, well, what are those ways that we can start to prepare ourselves for this to be coming into our diocese? How can we start to work on ourselves to be ready to receive our Lord?
Well, it's funny. I was listening again, driving in, and it was Father Ricardo during that 7 o'clock hour. And he said, so many of us are biblically illiterate.
Mm.
And that just kind of pierced my heart. Like, yes, we are, because there's so much richness, like, especially like this week in the octave of Easter, these readings, you know, that we're receiving, there's so much there, and there's so much. And then tied to that is our catechism, you know, like our faith is handed to us so beautifully with scripture and catechism. It's the tradition. Mm-hmm. It's, you know, it's everything. And if we immerse ourselves in that, and even in our daily life, that builds the most incredible foundation to then feel confident to speak about our Lord. You know, mm-hmm. we don't have to know everything perfectly. We don't have to, you know, we don't have to be perfect in what we know, but gaining that knowledge helps build our confidence and excites us, because when you truly know what were the apostles doing, you know, like reading the Acts of the Apostles, like, oh my gosh, that's so exciting. That's such an exciting part of scripture to read what was going on. And that's what we're being called to. So I think the more we build that in ourselves, the better we're prepared to actually go out to others.
Right.
And to go out well, you know, and to invite them into that, you know? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think I'm also struck by the thought of, we can't expect revival in the church if we don't first start in our own hearts.
Mm-hmm.
And the need to be affected and the need to seek it out. And you're just talking about, a lot of us are maybe biblically illiterate. It makes me think of that quote. Maybe someone can help me with who it is, but ignorance of scripture is ignorance of Christ.
Yes.
Right. And how often do we immerse ourselves in scripture?
I'm guessing Jerome. Am I right, Cam?
I don't actually know.
I'm pretty sure. I'm pretty sure that's who it was.
But it's made so easy for us now. Like, think about the Bible in a year, right? We can just do it by audio now.
Yeah.
And to really take time out of our day to start feeding ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
And the Bible in a year, catechism in the year, or all those things that we have available to us, should ignite us and mm-hmm. inspire us to always be searching and always be seeking more of the Lord. That it's not a checkbox. Okay, I've read the Bible, you know,
right.
I've read the catechism. Awesome.
Keep
Ask
going.
The Lord how you can go deeper, mm-hmm. because there's a richness that we're never going to fully
mm-hmm.
capture or realize the side of heaven. That, and that's one of the beautiful things about spending time in front of the Eucharist and in front of the Lord, because we never, what do you say? You never step into the ocean
the same river twice.
But I mean, because it's always flowing, it's always moving. There's more to discover mm-hmm. every time you go with an open mind, open heart, in front of the Eucharist.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's where the revival comes in for so many of us, that if you think you have it figured out, you don't.
Right.
You know, go back to the Lord.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So.
when you think about it, like, what is our eternal destination? Like, right. What is the goal? It's to be face to face with God for all eternity, worshiping Him. And so,
when you don't like that right now,
adoration is a wonderful place to practice that. And immersing ourselves in Scripture and Catechism is a wonderful way to really start to fully understand that better. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I'm taking some classes, and the one thing that I've learned that I keep sharing with everybody, that the Catechism references the Scripture. It tells mm-hmm. you know, you like read the part in Scripture and you're like, oh, where's that in the Catechism? Well, it's right here. And here's why we believe it. And here's the church documents that prove that. And here's a saint that talked about it. And when you look at it that way, you really shouldn't read your Bible without your catechism right there. And you shouldn't read your catechism without your Bible right there. Because if you're really reading and studying, you're going back and forth and you're putting all the pieces together. And it helps with that understanding. I mean, like Father Mike in the Bible in the Year definitely, and catechism definitely does a great job explaining it to us. But if you don't have that or you're not doing that, have those two next to each other and go back and forth and truly study it in that way. You know, you can read it, which is good. You can listen to it proclaimed, which is wonderful. But when you're studying it, you need those two references together.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. As we're talking about Scripture, I'm thinking about how can we maybe dive in and allow our hearts to be revived in a way. And a great place to start is probably John 9, right? Mm-hmm. The bread of life discourse. Mm-hmm. And how many times just in that chapter does he say, like, I am the bread of life, or like not, he uses the word not, a gnaw on me, and to just allow ourselves to go back to that and listen to our Lord's words and allow our hearts to be deeply affected by that. And to maybe if we are having those doubts of the presence of our Lord in the Eucharist, just go to his words in John 6 and let him speak to you there.
We're with Liz Christie from the Office of Evangelization for the Diocese. That website that we mentioned earlier for revival here in Columbus, columbuscatholic.org/revival. Bookmark it and return to it often, because it's a living webpage, right?
It is.
Always being updated.
Just the other day, I made some updates. Yep.
Yeah.
And there's still room if people want to go to the National Eucharistic Congress.
Oh, yes.
Right?
It's not too late to get tickets. And we have links to all of that on that page as well. So mm-hmm. they have a really beautiful national site where they talk about the Congress and they talk about the pilgrimage and just all things revival. So lots
and there's
of good
day
stuff.
Passes.
There are day passes. If you just want to go for a day, you can drive in and out on one day. That is definitely possible. We're lucky. We're only a 3-hour drive. So you could definitely do that.
It's doable. Mm-hmm.
And they have different tracks. So when you're there, they have family track, Spanish track, adult track, young adult track, you know, so different speakers. And I mean, literally every Catholic speaker that you've ever heard of in your life is going to be here talking. I mean, if name a name, they're going to be there, you know, so you don't want to miss it. I mean, this will be the summit of all summits, I think.
How are you going to enter into this? Are you able to go as a pilgrim, or are you going to go as a representative of the Office of Evangelization for the Diocese?
Both. Yeah. Both. So my goal is when the procession comes through Columbus to participate. I've cleared my schedule. I want to participate as much as possible just to kind of prepare my heart and to be present for all of it. And then when we go to Indianapolis, the whole thing. I mean, once we're all there and everyone's in the stadium that first night, I think I can take a deep breath. I'm like, okay, we made it. Everyone's good. And then I just plan to immerse myself in the next few days.
That's from what I've seen in the schedule. There's a lot of opportunities for fellowship, mm-hmm. you know, to study, to receive from the speakers and from the content. Opportunities to share it with other pilgrims, but then also just quiet opportunities, a lot of opportunities for the sacraments, for Mass, for reconciliation, as well as for silent adoration.
Yeah, absolutely. So, yeah, I know every morning there'll be a big Mass, all the bishops, all the seminarians from around the country that are attending, and that will be amazing. If you've ever attended like SEEK or NCYC and you understand like the grandness of that, imagine it 3 times bigger. That's what we're going to experience.
I aged out of those other events. Okay. So this one's still.
I always get to go as chaperones now, so it's fine.
Well, Liz, thank you so much for being with us here in the cafe. That's Liz Christie from the Office of Evangelization for the Diocese of Columbus. You guys are all doing such great work, and we're grateful for you, grateful for all that Dr. Marlin has given us. So you guys are in our prayers, and you're doing so much.
Thanks,
so much
Dave.
Good work. And you have another summit that you're probably starting.
We do. Our Evangelization Leadership Summit will be Saturday, November 16th. And super excited. We found out Monsignor Shea will be with us that day as one of our keynote speakers.
Chief Marauder.
Yes.
University of Mary, Bismarck, North Dakota.
Yes.
Yeah.
So I don't know if you caught the recording of his Sikh talk from this past year.
So good.
It's so good. We shared it on Friday because he says, I'm the Good Friday priest, you know, so we shared it with our parish that day. But we were so excited to have him with us that day. And registration for that should be opened sometime soon. Mm.
Another opportunity for us all to come together. Folks, we're blessed with such a loving God, and who's always with us and cares for us so deeply that he continues to live among us in the Eucharist. And we have the Holy Spirit to guide, to console, to bring us closer to the Trinity and life in God. And if that weren't enough, we have a wonderful community of pilgrims also journeying together. Journeying home. Mm-hmm. So say a prayer of thanksgiving today for all the blessings that the Lord's given us here in the Diocese of Columbus. So Liz, thanks again for being with us. Men, I want to remind you about the Leadership Summit that's coming up on Saturday, April 13th, another opportunity to spend time with John Edwards, who is one of the keynote speakers at this year's Men's Conference. It's the Catholic Men's Ministry Leadership Summit. Another summit.
All the summits.
The source and the summit. This is happening at St. Paul's in Westerville, Saturday, April 13th. Starts with Mass at 8:30 and ends in early afternoon, I guess, around 2:30. And if you missed it last week, we had our high school. It wasn't a summit. It was a
Bishop Forum. And the podcast is now available.
That's right. SaintGabrielRadio.com. We had high school students from all over the diocese. Bishop Watterson, Bishop Hartley, Bishop Reedy, Christo Ray, St. Charles Prep, St. Francis de Sales, Lancaster Fisher Catholic, and Newark Catholic. We all came together to have a dialogue with Bishop Fernandez. So visit the Bishop's podcast page at saintgabrielradio.com. So much going on.
Mm-hmm.
So friends, thank you for being with us today. Coming up tomorrow, we'll have another wonderful cafe with some of our Mercedarians, right? Awesome. Look forward to it. Glory be to the Father and to the Son and to the Holy Spirit.
As it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, a world without end. Amen.
Christ is risen.
Alleluia. He is risen.
See you tomorrow.